Now, I wonder if we could turn in our Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. And we're going to just read verse 2 for the sake of time. Our time is away today, and we're really having to stick to time today because of the funeral later on. But I'm going to read verse 2. And we'll read verse 1 just to get the context. But just verses 1 and 2 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to our hearts. Let's unite in a wee word of prayer. Our loving and our gracious God, we thank thee for the opportunity of bowing at thy feet afresh. We thank thee for what we have heard already. We thank thee for the boys and girls who have taken part in our service. We thank thee for the readings and for the singing. And we bless thee for the Saviour of whom they have sung. And we pray that thou wouldst draw us nigh to him today, that we might be brought near to our blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak through thy word, bless it to our hearts, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. The incarnation and birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, coming into this sin-cursed world, is one of the most dramatic, if not the most dramatic, event that has ever been recorded in history. But one of the most unusual aspects of it was that relatively few people were interested in it and knew anything about it. And it wasn't the rich people or the rulers of this world that were informed about the birth of our Saviour. But first of all, it was revealed to certain shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night. You know the story of how the angelic choirs came into the fields in Bethlehem and told these people about the Saviour who was born. The Lord didn't send them to the Sanhedrin or to the Jewish council in Jerusalem, but sent them to the lowly shepherds on the fields. And then the glad tidings came to these wise men or magi or students of the stars. And these were men who weren't even Jews at all. They were foreigners, and they lived away out in the east. People debate about where they lived. Some people think that they were from Persia or Iran today. Some people think that they came as far as India. Indeed, they must have come a long way, because it seems that it took them 2 years to get to where the Lord Jesus was. And they traveled across deserts and across mountains and across rivers, and in those days they would have had to brave the bandits and the robbers and all sorts of difficult conditions. And not only were there the physical obstructions in their way, but there were the human obstructions as well, because, for example, when they came into Jerusalem, they thought that the best place to look for a newborn king was in the palace. And you remember how they went to Herod, and Herod did his best to try and deceive them and try to get them involved in a scheme to put to death the Lord Jesus. And then they consulted with their own people. Remember how the Jewish scribes and Pharisees came in, and they said that he would be born in Bethlehem. They certainly did. But you know, he went to the wrong place, and they went to the wrong people when they were looking there for the Lord Jesus Christ. And there were many difficulties and many, many dangers that the wise men had to overcome to see the Lord Jesus Christ. But what impressed me as I was looking at the story was the determination of these men to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here they were, travelling thousands of miles, braving all sorts of dangers and difficulties, and they were really determined to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, to come and worship him. Some of you may have seen a poster maybe in a church or a sticker in a car at this time of the year that says, "Wise men still seek Jesus." And you know, that's maybe putting it in a, in a kind of a light-hearted way, but there's a great truth in that. Because wise people, wise men and wise women still seek the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wonder, at this time of the year in particular, if you have sought the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have found the blessed Redeemer. Because dear man, woman, young person, boy or girl, they're meeting today. What you need to do is seek Him with all your heart. Seek Him until you find Him. And that's why I want to look at the wise men for a few minutes in our meeting today. There are a number of things about these wise men that I want you to see. And the first thing that I want you to see is their inquiry. Look at what they say here in verse 2 of Matthew chapter 2. Here is their inquiry. Where is He that is born King of the Jews? And you notice that there's a concern that has been awakened in their hearts somewhere along the line. When the star appeared in the east, we don't know what they saw in the star. It was an unusual star because it moved to where the young child was. But nevertheless, when they saw this star, this unusual star that was in the heavens, there was a concern awakened in their hearts. They said, where is He that is born King of the Jews? Unfortunately, there are few people today that ask the same question in their hearts. I'm afraid that there are so many who have no interest in finding the Lord Jesus Christ, to know about the Savior, to know about His salvation, to know about the fact that He died on the cross in the room instead of sinners, that men and women might be redeemed. And what a wonderful message. That's a message of freedom and a message of joy and a message of peace. And the greatest gift that we could have at this time of the year is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet so few seem to have any interest. You think of the words of the Lord Jesus spoken in prophecy. In the prophecy of or Jeremiah, it said, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. And thank God that the wise men did not pass by, but they wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted to meet Him. They wanted to come into His presence. And you've come to the meeting today, and oh, that there might be an awakening of a concern in your heart that you might find the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So there is a concern awakened. There's something else here. There's a conviction acknowledged. They said, where is He that is born King of the Jews? And you notice that there's a conviction in their hearts. They know, they are convinced that the one that they seek is the King of the Jews. And they know something about this one. They have seen in the stars, they've read the heavenlies, and they've never seen Christ. They had never come into contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they'd never seen Him before. But even though they hadn't seen these things, they know that He is the King of the Jews. And that was a good thing. They knew that this was a king. They came with kingly gifts. They came with a desire to meet a king and to worship and get down before Him. And it is my prayer today that you might acknowledge Him as King, that He might be King and Lord of your life. You know, so many people want to run their own affairs and make an awful mess of it in doing that. But you know, if we put our hand and put our hearts in the hand of the Blessed Redeemer, He is one who will never leave us and never forsake us. He's one who will never let us down. He is one that will bear us up when we are in difficulty. And thank God we know today that He is our King. And I hope that you know that today. But not just a head knowledge. These men at this stage are just a head knowledge. They knew that He was a King. But you'll see the way that they're seeking Him. They're looking for an earthly King. They have some knowledge, but they don't have a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, seek Christ today. Now, I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about a church. I'm not talking about doing this or doing that. Many people are lulled to sleep by infidel preaching today, and they're seeking Christ in religion or baptism or something else. But what you need to do is come to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There was a conviction awakened in these men's heart, acknowledged in these men's heart, that he was the king. But also there's a confusion admitted, because they say, where is he? They'd never met him. They had never come into contact with him. And they had to admit that they didn't know where he was. They didn't know how to find him. You know, there are many people who bluff today, and they like to let people think that they know Christ or know about him, or that they have some kind of relationship with Christ. And you get people today on radio and television, and when they're asked a question that they know nothing about, they sometimes waffle around it and try and make a pretense that they know not something that they know nothing about. Well, these men admitted that they didn't know where he was. Maybe today you don't know where the Savior is, in the sense that maybe you're confused about salvation and don't know how to get right with God. But all I need to tell you today is that you need to admit your sin and get down before the Savior. Ask him into your heart to be your Redeemer. He'll take your sins away. He will wash you in his precious blood. And these men were wise enough to admit that they were fools as far as finding Christ was concerned. Dear friend, there are so many fools out there today. They think they'll find him in their church membership. They think they'll find him in their baptism. They think they'll find him in this or that ordinance of a church, or this or that ritual of a church. But dear friend, if you don't know him, admit it today. I wonder if you'll be brave enough to admit that you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. But dear friend, if there is any wisdom at all, you will say, where is he? Where is he? That I might be brought to him. There was a confusion that was admitted. But there is a cause also asserted. Why did they want to meet him? Well, they say it here, that we may go and worship him. Wise men worship Christ. Wise men get down on their knees. Now, these men were kings. They were mighty men. They were students of the stars. But they were not big, too big to get down on their knees in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted Christ to be glorified. They wanted to worship Christ. Oh, dear friend, you've come today and our meeting is an act of worship. But oh, that you might come true worship and heartfelt worship and get down before him. These men were not triflers. There was a determination amongst these men, in spite of their tiredness or in spite of the long journey that they had made. They wanted to find the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that God might put a determination in your heart to come and find him. But not only do I see here their inquiry, these men, but look at their inspiration. These wise men had an inspiration that led them to where the Lord Jesus was. They wanted to know where he was, and they said, we have seen his star. Now that was the encouragement, that was the inspiration that they had. This was the star was there to direct them to where the Lord Jesus was. And I want you to see the great aid that they had. This star, we're told, went to be above the manger or above the house in Bethlehem where the Lord Jesus was born. And we think of how it traveled from the east to the west. And we think of the wonder of that great star, that mighty star that proclaimed the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And why these men were highly privileged to get a message that came from God himself to direct them where the young child was. But you know, there are no more privileged than you and I have, because we have a great aid that tells us where Jesus is, how we can come and find him. And here it is. It's found in the Bible. It's found in the precious word of God. God's word is given to us to direct us to find the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of how it says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Dear friend, you don't need man's opinions. You don't need what man would have you to do or man would say to you. What you need to do is go by that book. That's the infallible guide. And if it's not according to that book, if they speak not according to my word, the Bible says it's because there is no light in them. God has given us a great aid. And if you want to find the Lord Jesus truly, if you want to have your sins forgiven, well, there's the direction book. You don't go by what man says, but go by what the book has to say. There is a great aid. But there's also a great accountability. Because having been given the direction that they had been in the star, there was a great responsibility put upon these wise men to follow the star. It wasn't enough that they had seen the star. Oh, they might have said to themselves, oh, we have had a mighty privilege. We've been given this star that tells us that a king has been born in Israel. And they might have said to themselves, we've seen a star, and that's enough. But my other people didn't see the star, but we saw it. And they could have been content with that. They had been given a mighty privilege. And they could have been content just to think that they'd be given the star. And that would have been a wonderful thing. But they weren't content with that. They followed the star. They followed what the star told them to do. They went where the star directed them to go. And it's not enough to worship. It's not enough to come and open the Bible and sing the hymns. We've got to go to Christ. To as many as receive him. To them give you the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe in his name. And you notice that when they got to Jerusalem, they weren't content. You know what they said? Well, we've got to Jerusalem. We've got into the kingdom that this king is born in. We have come to the place. And here's the palace. And we've got to the palace. And we're so near. And they could have been content with that. That they got to the palace and they saw no sign. They could have gone home again. But no, they're not content with that. They go on. They go to Bethlehem. They're not content until they actually come into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until they meet the Savior. Oh, never rest, dear friend, until you meet the Savior. Until you, by the eye of faith, have come to up into the presence of the mighty God of heaven. Oh, dear friend, that you might receive his so great salvation. That you might trust in him today. The great object of our preaching and the great object of the Word of God is to direct you to Christ. But you've got to follow the directions. The Bible says, repent and believe the gospel. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And you've got to do that. So we notice their inquiry. And we know something here about their inspiration, this star that led them. But one more thing very briefly, and I want you to see their illustration or their example, because it says here in verse 11, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child and Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And you notice that the wise men did three things. First of all, they saw, and then they worshipped, and then they presented gifts. First they saw the young child. First they came into the presence of the Savior and they glanced at his mother and at his father, but they beheld the young child. I would believe that there was something of a supernatural beauty about the child. They glanced at the mother, but they fixed their eye upon the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw the young child. And my dear friend, oh, that we might see him by the eye of faith. The Bible says, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God. Beside me there is none else. Look to Christ for your salvation. Don't be dependent upon yourself and what you can do. For all our righteousness is as filthy rags in his sight. But you come to Christ. They saw Christ. And then they fell down at his feet and worshipped him. And that's what happens when a person really sees Christ. They worship him. They fall at his feet. This man had seen. These men saw the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you today to come with all your heart and present yourself to Him. Just get down on your knees and worship Him and say, I yield, I yield, I gladly yield. Thy dying life compelled to the conqueror. Oh, that you might yield your life and truly worship the Lord Jesus Christ. So they saw and they worshipped. And then they presented gifts. These were kingly gifts. And they brought these gifts to the king. Now, we mightn't have gold and we mightn't have frankincense and we mightn't have myrrh today. But what I want you to do is present yourself. Put yourself in the hands of the blessed Redeemer. Bring yourself to the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are sinners. We need our sins forgiven. We need to be washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. And He was called Jesus because He would save His people from their sin. Oh, that you might come today and seek the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. May God write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake.